Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
No swear,
no swearing, no swearing. No, I think we should do no swearing from now on.
All right, we'll try.
So I played it to my, I told you I didn't know it. I played it to my family over Christmas. Or they made me play it. They were like, right, so let's listen to 10 minutes of the pod.
And then, giving us 10 minutes. Yeah. To episode 24 of the Tottenham Way podcast. Just me and Dan again this week, 2 weeks in a row.
Classic.
It is the classic, yeah. It's the BLT.
It's also because we forgot to invite anyone, mainly.
It's Christmas.
Partly a classic, but partly we forgot.
Partly incompetence.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just been Christmas, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. Dan, what did you get up to?
Not a lot. I started my new job on January 1st.
Sensible night in there.
So I was in bed. I was tap in bed by 1. And I was on Twitter, actually, while everyone was celebrating.
Yeah, I was doing that. That's really
well,
impressive.
I got back and I had loads of notifications and I was a bit drunk. So I got a bit emotional. You were being really nice.
I was being nice.
So loads of people were being really nice. And I was like, oh, this is too much.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, there's something about New Year. Like the full moon, you get a bit mad and crazy and feel emotional.
It's something about washing away the last year that I quite like. It's a time to take stock, I think. Also, we are recording today as well on the 10-year anniversary of a major Spurs event.
Huge.
Or non-event. People have been posting the GIFs and the videos around Twitter and Facebook today. 10 years ago today, we were at Old Trafford, Martignol,
yeah.
In our season where we eventually finished fifth because of Lasagna Gate, I believe, 2006, I'm pretty sure. Pedro Mendes, I don't even know, the ball basically bounces in front of him.
Didn't even control it, it was one touch,
wasn't it?
Yeah, just a boost. Just 60 yards.
Proper David
Bentley. 60 yards from goal and 60 yards up in the air.
Yeah.
It's a big memory for me because I broke, as I said on Twitter today, I broke my TV and my remote control.
And your dog's trust.
Yeah, in one. I stood up and sort of stepped forward and launched it.
Was this at the goal or the decision not to give it?
It was sort of when the whole... Situation. Yeah. It was probably only a few seconds afterwards when it became clear what had happened, and Man U almost scored as well.
Yeah.
It was probably as Gomez was making that save. Was it Gomez? No, it was Robinson.
Robbo
was making a save. I was so furious. I actually think this is quite embarrassing as well. I think I might have written to the Premier League.
Oh no!
Got involved in that campaign.
Got to find that.
I'm not finding it.
I would.
But there was something going around. What's Twitter about that time?
No.
It would have been something on like Spurs community.
Yeah,
Being like right to the Premier League. Let's get the 3 points for Spurs. I'm like, I got involved.
What made?
I was young.
It was the last minute, wasn't it? Or in the last 10 minutes?
I was 17.
Yeah.
So it was the last.
Yeah, you get stupid.
Yeah, it's the last 3 minutes.
And it was, it could have changed Tottenham history.
Yeah,
could have been.
And then Fergie had the gall to say afterwards, which made me even more angry. He mentioned their chance. I can't remember who it was, but Robinson made a really good save, and he said, "Oh well, you know." They had a chance at the end, we had a chance at the end. It's like, as if that's the same. We scored a goal that was 5 yards over the line that wasn't given, and then our goalkeeper made a really good save.
Yeah.
They're completely different.
I think, for some reason, I hold it against Roy Carroll more than the assistant referee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know why he cheated. Well, but he didn't really, because
he did. Because he knew, he knew full well it was over, and he looked. I know we said this wasn't a swearing pod, but he looked like he'd shat himself. That guilty look on his face.
Yeah, he definitely did. But then I think that if I was a referee and I saw that, I wouldn't let it sway me one way or the other. If I wasn't sure,
I'd have given it based on his facial expression alone.
Yeah, I don't know. he was not sure, very sheepish about it. But yeah. Well, there you go. That's the anniversary. Lots happened since then. Lots happened since we last spoke, actually. We had, obviously, the New Year's celebration, and then Everton on Sunday afternoon, late kick-off, for a neutral. Good game, I thought. I don't know if I said this on the last pod, but when we were talking about Everton, I said they reminded me of us under Yol. May not have said it on the pod, but I've said it on Twitter a couple of times. As a neutral, they're great, and you'd want to sort of tune in whenever they're on TV. But as you know, as a fan, it probably drive you insane to sit there and watch it. But I don't think they had much complaint about the first half being level at best for them. But second half, they kind of did the same to us as what we did to them in the first half without any having anything strictly clear-cut. What I'm trying to say is it was that horrible old fable of game of two halves, wasn't it, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think you'll struggle to see a more one-sided half in the Premier League this season as the first half. I mean, to say they had no complaints is it would be a huge understatement. Yeah. They really got away with it. Spurs absolutely battered them in the first half. I thought it was a really, really good half of football from Tottenham. Second half, I thought it was quite even, actually. I'm not sure they... It was quite breathless and end-to-end, especially at the end. Unusually, we looked more tired than Everton at the end. Yeah. It looked like we'd run out of path and run out of ideas, and they still had a little bit left. But I thought for the first, let's say, 25 minutes of the second half, it was pretty even. It could have gone... Could have gone either way.
I think it's natural to sit as well. A very similar thing probably could have happened against Watford had they not had someone sent off. And that almost gave us the onus or the impetus to go forwards, particularly in the last 5 minutes. But I felt we were hanging on towards the last 10 minutes. There's a couple of times that Lukaku got completely free of Vertonghen, who, to be fair to him, did get back very well, but it looked as if that game had gone on another 5 minutes, I think we would have been in trouble.
Dilafay swung in their favour, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's a player. I don't know what... I mean, Lennon scored.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah. We'll go on to Lennon. Actually, we're going to put Lennon right at the very end of this.
Okay.
It's one of the listener questions. We'll talk about that. But overall, it's a good point, isn't it? To go away to Everton is a decent point.
One of the best quotes I saw was... Nick Miller for ESPN FC said it was an example of why Spurs are being considered as title contenders, but also why Spurs probably won't win the title.
Yeah, if that makes sense. Yeah, that's a great.
I couldn't put it any better myself. There were loads of really good things.
Yeah, without it being the best and worst of us, I don't think anything ridiculous happens.
No, but I mean, the first half performance, we could have been 2 or 3 goals clear. I mean, and we arguably should have been. It was the post and the bar that stopped us being a couple of goals up. But then in the second half, we didn't really have a plan B. We didn't have anyone to bring on for Kane. We ran out of energy, and we also sort of ran out of ideas. And I think ultimately, there's a long way to go, but if we do end up in the top 3 or 4 or whatever, and we fall short of the title, it will be not because we're easy to beat, but because we lack that sort of extra something.
Yeah,
we've drawn too many games.
Sometimes you will get away with it. Watford, we've done it. That was the case of us just really digging in and going right to the very.
Yeah, but you're right in saying we kind of got. It was glorious, but we kind of got away with it. It was arguably offside. It was a great finish.
And
we lacked that extra something, that extra moment that could win us the game in the second half. But yeah, to do that to Everton, what we did in the first half, they're not, for all their faults defensively, they're still probably a top seven.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Team. I mean, yeah. They've got one of probably the top three in-form strikers at the moment, and he is a handful in every way, you know, to feet, to his head, holding the ball up, running at you. He's difficult to handle, and if you commit too many players forward, then you are going to struggle.
But, it's interesting, we'll have Ighalo, Lukaku, and then Vardy. Yeah, in a row.
That is
it's
true.
Like we'll be playing the three form strikers.
That's very
true.
In
the three consecutive Premier League games.
Yeah, that is a good point. I hadn't thought of that. What a lot of people thought about was Tom Carroll isn't good enough for Tottenham.
Yeah.
We've had a chat about Carroll before. I think we talked about him very early on in the season. And I think it was the Arsenal game that we were talking about when we lost at home in the Cup and he played. And we weren't quite sure what to make of the decision to include him full stop. But he's now played a part in all five of our last five games. He's come on as a sub in two of them, but he started against Newcastle, started against Watford, and he started against Everton. So he's not really on the fringes, is he? He's having quite a big impact on Pochettino for him to be able to include him in two really tough away games. And he was rewarded for his game against Monaco with a start against Newcastle. And we discussed this. It's not his fault that we lost the game. It's just an unfortunate coincidence that he was part of a very poor team performance. But this time I felt he was quite tidy against Everton. Without doing much, but he was tidy, I thought.
I thought he was a bit more than that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought he... Well, first of all, I think it is... From what you've just said, he deserves a lot of credit because at the beginning of the season, I thought he would probably be in the position that Townsend's in now, which is that he would have fallen behind Onuma and Winks and probably be playing under 21 football, getting ready for a move. That's what I thought would happen. And then when Dyer and Ali became established after seven or eight games or whatever it was, it looked even more likely that there was just no way back for him.
Yeah, and then Dembele as well.
Yeah, and then Benteleb and Mason were injured, and it was like, right, they're going to come back, and he's just going to be so far down, there's no hope for him. But he's worked his way into the team, and I think his performance against Everton was probably, if you think about it, he's probably never played at that level in his career ever.
Mm.
He didn't really dominate a game like that ever in a Swansea shirt, I don't think.
No.
He's played for the England under-21s, but that's the England under-21s.
Yeah. And I think he's quite highly regarded, isn't he? By quite a few... he's not going to make huge waves in whatever level he eventually ends up at, I don't think. But he is quite highly regarded by a lot of people.
Yeah, just to finish what I was saying.
Sorry.
I think, no, it's all right. But I was going to say, I think he had the most touches of anyone. I need to check that out.
Completed,
he certainly did in the first half, had more touches than anyone else.
I think he completed the third most passes of the weekend as well, amongst anyone in
we're talking about a top six or seven Premier League clash. It's no small feat to have done that. So he does deserve a lot of credit. And he does seem to be quite highly rated.
He's 24
yeah.
as well. I think that's something else to remember. But then Mason's 24.
I don't know. I'm really torn.
Yeah.
On the one hand, I think he kind of made Tottenham tick against Everton. And there are a couple of times where he played some really... really nice through balls. I love those balls where you kind of split the fullback in the centre half.
Yeah.
And you just sort of slide it through and then the Davis was getting
Walker,
onto them.
Yeah, should have. Yeah,
Walker. Because Carroll's quite predominantly left footed.
Yeah.
It's better for Davis. He kind of slides it in that gap. I think he's got obvious strengths but also really obvious weaknesses.
Yeah.
He's
literally a weak.
Weak. And maybe against Everton, they were playing Barry and Cleverley, weren't they?
Yeah, but he was quite often up against Barkley.
And
Barkley is a
Barkley's
real
hench.
Unit. He is, yeah. He's for for the style of player that he is, he's really quite bulky. Mm. And I think there was one, he got past Carroll and they were on the break, and Carroll might as well have just been like giving him a piggyback. Like, you know, when a monkey's on its mother's back, that's what Tom Carroll looked like. He just like clinging on. And in the end, I think Barkley, if he'd have had any more about him, he probably could have just shrugged him off his back and carried on. Like, he was clinging to his shirt. It was Carroll's yellow card. And
That was a clever foul, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
He needed to make that foul.
Yeah, definitely. But it looked like it took all of his strength to pull back Barkley. He's literally a weak player, but. Mm.
In fact, there was a topless Instagram of him that Ali did.
Really?
he is a frail man. he's similar to me in build.
But he sounds like a 13-year-old as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, sorry, Tommy, but
yeah, I mean, voice. Yeah, he sounds exactly like you'd think he'd sound if you were shown a picture of him. You could probably do an impression of him.
I think in conclusion, I like that he's doing well, and I think he does deserve a lot of credit because he's obviously doing really well in training as well. Because I don't think Pochettino would be rewarding him like this if he wasn't working his.
Equally, we should mention Bentaleb, because Bentaleb last season was playing every game he was fit for. I don't think he missed a game through form.
Well, after he got on the team, I don't think he did. Yeah.
No, but he was injured for the first. He was in Pochettino's first two games.
Yeah, no, I was just being predicted. Before Capu got dropped, he was on the bench for quite a few of the first nine games. But then from November.
Yeah.
Mid-November, he was a mainstay.
But he is definitely on the naughty step, isn't he? This isn't a case of him working back to form. He seems to be.
Do you think?
Yeah. The reason that I say that is because the game yesterday seemed perfect for someone like Bentaleb to allow Dyer to do his work defensively and for Ali to do what he did really well and play between the lines and draw defenders away. Bentaleb seems like the perfect foil for that, and I know Carroll was buzzing around, but there were times when we needed to defend and Dyer was almost having to do two jobs because of Carroll's. And again, I think fitness is another aspect of it as well. I think he struggled to keep up with the pace towards the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was really surprised he wasn't replaced, actually.
Yeah.
Well,
it seemed an obvious start, but I'm wondering where Bentaleb's stock lies at the moment, because he had 20 minutes against Monaco, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which he started very rusty, but he grew into it. And it looked as if it was like, you know what, this might be the sort of game that we need for him to get back into the groove of things. You know, he's found his touch, found a little bit of vision and that. And he's not featured again.
Well, he wasn't on the bench against Watford, which was a pretty big indicator that he wasn't going to start against Everton, as much as I would have liked him to. I mean, yeah, I think for all Carroll's qualities, of which passing is a big one, and kind of moving the ball quickly and moving it forward and taking risks, Bentaleb is so much more of a complete player.
Yeah.
He can do those slide rule passes that I just talked about.
Yeah.
He can get back and defend. He's better in the air. He's stronger.
Yeah, he's more of a he's match.
Defensively more astute.
Yeah.
He's better at running with the ball. So it is a strange one. I honestly don't know what to make of the Bentaleb thing. I mean, we should probably say that there was some rumbling. Someone told us on Twitter that they had heard that Bentaleb's attitude had been really poor since he came back from injury.
Yeah.
It's all just rumours at the moment, but I don't know. I feel like
I'd be gutted if that.
I'd be gutted if it was really true gutted. As well. I feel like
he felt like a poster boy of the Pochettino.
Yeah,
thing.
And in terms of ceilings, I mean, Ali probably has the highest ceiling in the squad, but I mean, Bentaleb's not far behind. I don't think he's really got a little bit of everything as a defensive midfielder. Or as a kind of deep line midfielder, in the same way that Ali has a little bit of everything as the kind of complete box-to-box midfielder. I don't know. I hope to see him soon.
Yeah, I do. I mean, the games are going to pile up and we are going to have Fiorentina over two legs and things like that. So
yeah.
We need him. We need that part of the squad to be as sort of fresh as possible. But you spoke about Ali. Ali is just, he's just continuing, isn't he? He doesn't seem to be showing any signs of dropping off. And it seems like now it's gone beyond that initial teenage adrenaline, you know, first start in the Premier League sort of thing. He's a consistent performer. Mm. He's not... He seems to have the same 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 games every single time he plays. His goal was excellent. And it was very similar to the goal that he scored against West Brom. But I thought it was a more difficult chance. Against West Brom, he had...
I thought it was a much harder chance.
Yeah, he had to take it down. Chance. Yeah.
And he made it look easy, didn't he?
Yeah. He's scary. He's quite a frightening footballer.
Yeah, I mean, what more can we say, really?
Well, how many has he got now? He must have 7 overall.
I'm not sure.
He's hitting levels of...
He's directly contributed 5 goals in the last 6 or the last 7.
Yeah.
So assists and goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's quality and as much as I am loath to bring up the Harry Redknapp Twitter account that you mentioned earlier,
yeah.
Whoever it is running that account for him made a decent point in that he just doesn't, in the same way that I feel like Bentaleb has a little bit of everything to be the kind of perfect deep line midfielder, yeah. Ali does have everything you'd want from a kind of attacking box-to-box midfielder. I mean, he's big and strong, he's good in the air, he can pass, he's technical, he's got that
kind of killer instinct as well.
Eye for goal, yeah, he's a bit of a bastard as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, he's just... His ceiling is just scarily high.
Yeah.
Get excited.
I think that's a good thing to take away. If you're not excited by Ali already, which how can you not be, but... It's time to get excited because of anyone that sort of epitomises this young team that is learning as we go along, he's it, isn't he? He embodies that so much because he's that bit of strength that he's got, a mental and physical strength he's got, sort of belies the skill that he's got as well. He did it a couple of times against Norwich where he just walks past people.
Well, I think the skill is what he first showed, you know, in those first couple of friendlies when he was nutmegging people. He was like, oh, this guy's a skillful player. And he's just, you know, that was kind of his base.
Yeah.
Like, making Modric and Cruz or whoever it was. And now he's just sort of, every week he's showing us something else. It became pretty clear early on that his stamina is just unbelievable. Yeah. He can keep running for 90 minutes. His strength to hold off the Everton defenders, his technique to score. I love him.
Yeah. Someone who can't run for 90 minutes anymore is Harry Kane, unfortunately. And it's not a criticism. I want to add that immediately.
No. Poor bloke.
But
you see when he just fell over then in the Everton game? He literally fell over from exhaustion.
It looks like it is starting to catch up with him. And I think that this isn't a stick to beat Levy or the club with. These are bare facts to talk about now. He has played non-stop football for about 14 months now. So I include in that the Euros, the under-21 Euros, and the friendlies that we played in Germany 2 days before we were away at United.
And the post-season friendlies.
The post-season friendlies in Malaysia and Australia.
Yeah.
And he played 90 minutes in nearly every one of those games, I think. I think he missed one in Munich.
He's played a lot of football.
He's played a lot of football. And I felt like this was the first time it really looked like he had done for a Chelsea longer
game,
period.
I thought the Chelsea game.
But I felt like everyone was kind of on a par. So it wasn't quite as stark. Whereas. Yes, Everton was. It seemed like he was kept on the pitch purely because he's Harry Kane. And you don't take Harry Kane off. It's not something you do.
Well, particularly with that one. I think you might with an alternative.
Well, this was an interesting point. I can't remember who it was. Someone brought it up yesterday and said, we have to think along the lines of if we're 1-1 away at Everton and we want to win the game, fair enough, you put a different striker on for an alternative. But if you want to win the game, you don't take Harry Kane off. So the point of bringing in a new striker really is to sort of to pick and choose the games where you can rest Harry Kane.
Well, no, I don't know if I agree. I mean, if we, let's say we had a decent plan B on the bench, Kane would have probably been the person I'd have taken off against Everton rather than...
When he's
in that state, you know, Lamella's got a goal in him. Can't remember who else was on the field at the end. Yeah. Everton went off.
Chadley was over there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I take your point. Yeah, I think to go back to the... To go back to the Nick Miller quote that I mentioned at the start of the pod, I think a big reason why Spurs are contenders for the title but by no means favourite or by no means likely to win it is mainly because of that lack of a plan B, really.
Yeah.
It's like we seem to be really flogging Kane, and there isn't anyone we can bring off the bench
who can do
anywhere near a similar job.
A few months ago, we were talking about Ndiaye was coming off the bench and doing Kane's running for him by the end of the game.
Yeah, and Son did it.
Son did it. Well, tried to do it.
I think he did the running bit. I mean, there was that moment where he fouled Stones. Stones weirdly doesn't seem to trust Tim Howard at all. And we're just kind of turning.
Just to talk just quickly on this, yeah. Apparently Stones turned to the crowd and was like,
yeah,
throwing
did,
his hands up in the air, that's up, just chill out, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So what a mentality we've got in England. Just get rid of it.
Yeah. No, I think Son did the running okay, but he just could not keep the ball.
No, he lost it five times from when he came on. And,
yeah.
And I know that he's not a player that's going to make things stick. He needs the ball in front of him to do his best work. But there was a couple of times where we really fired it in at him. I don't really know why. Dyer does it quite a lot. He likes a
ping, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's a bit Freund. But yeah, ping is probably the best word for it. But I mean, this is the first indication, and maybe it's a timely indication, that we need that backup, don't we?
We need to sign a centre-forward this month. Mm. If we don't, I think we will live to regret it.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it will be horrible. Because we'll look back on all this excitement and positivity around the club at the moment, which is there for good cause. It's quite right that we're feeling like this. But if we carry on for the rest of the season with just Kane up front, we're not going to achieve what we could if he was given a backup.
It's not even just a case of exhaustion, is it? That you've got to look at the fact that eventually he's going to get injured from this, because he does throw himself around, Kane, in a good way. He's not a lump, but he doesn't stop running and he battles for every ball and stuff, and it's going to take one moment of being slightly tired challenge that ruptures his knee ligaments because someone goes through him. This is a reality that the club has to face up to.
Yeah,
and we are letting him down.
Imagine if that happened on Sunday against Leicester. I mean, what?
Yeah, we're letting him down.
And Jai's probably out
for the season, I'd say. I mean, they're talking about March, but if you're going to look at a Pochettino player, if you've got 3 months out, it takes you at least a month to get back.
Yeah.
If we're in a position to play him at the end of the season, then fine. But I doubt he's going to play again this season. It's a big worry that it's not just going to be, oh, Kane's a bit tired, let's leave him out for two games. It's Kane's injured for 3 months.
Mm.
You know, we're failing to protect him. We're letting him down and in turn letting the team down. I've no doubt we probably would manage fairly well without him and probably finish fifth. But Kane, for me, is the big difference between fourth in Champions League and fifth in Europa League.
Yeah.
Maybe Lloris. Maybe Lloris is the other person that you could take out and notice it to that degree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't disagree.
Should we move on to Leicester? You mentioned it, that we've got them on... When have we actually got them? It's the FA Cup game first,
Sunday
isn't it?
And Wednesday. Yeah, FA Cup. It's FA Cup weekend this weekend. We've got them on Sunday, and then we've got them at home a few days later on Wednesday in the Premier League.
Big game, that. But we'll talk about the FA Cup game first, purely because it is quite an interesting... it's a throwback, actually, to last season, isn't it? Ollie mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on the pod that it's a chance to put things right in the cups that we got wrong last season with Fiorentina in Europa League as well. But it'd be interesting how they approach it as well, because they have got sort of they've got a completely different remit to what they had this time last season. This time last season they were bottom.
Yeah.
And this time they're second? Third?
Second or third,
which
yeah.
is mental. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's mental.
So I wonder how they approach it compared to how we approach it. How would you approach it?
How would I approach it? Oh, I don't know. It's such a...
Have things been skewed? We were so desperate for a trophy, and I think that we were so close last season as well that everyone said, you know what, I'd happily finish fifth if it meant winning a trophy.
I'm not sure it matters. Well, I think, it's like I said, sort of over the festive period when we had Watford, Pochettino didn't rotate at all because he doesn't seem to rotate in the league, but I felt we maybe had the advantage over Watford because we were in a position to rest players against
Norwich.
Yeah, but we didn't in the end.
Yeah. We didn't in the end.
But I felt, you know, we were in the position to maybe play Bentaleb and Chadley against Norwich. It turns out we didn't. We won both games, so it doesn't really matter. But you'd think that both managers will make quite a few changes for the FA Cup game.
Yeah.
Vardy's almost certainly not going to play in that game.
FA Cup game, I think he's definitely ruled out for.
Yeah, and I'd expect maybe Mahrez to be rested.
I thought so.
Kante. Drinkwater. Basically,
The spine.
The guys who've gotten this high. And I'd also expect Spurs to play Vorm.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back.
Vorm changed the fullbacks. So
yeah, definitely.
Rose and Trippier.
Vimmer.
Maybe Vimmer, but the Belgians don't seem to need much for a rest. So I expect there'll be big changes, but you know what you'd hope is that Spurs... Because Spurs do have a better squad than Leicester, that we could still win both those games.
Yes.
Agree. And that's probably what I would do.
What would you do with Kane then? I wouldn't put him anywhere near the FA Cup. And that's me still wanting to win the FA Cup.
Yeah, likewise.
I think Son up front actually plays pretty well there. He's done it a couple of times in Europa League.
Yeah.
I know that sometimes no barometer, but I quite like the football we play when he's up there.
Yeah, I'd be more than, I think Son and Lamella seem to
I'd
play Lamella in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
I'll give Chadley a start because he's working his way back. Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice to see Bentaleb. If attitude and commitment are a problem, then he probably won't start. But I mean, we've got potentially last season's first choice centre midfield in Bentaleb and Mason who could play in the FA Cup.
And Carroll, who is apparently being trusted, those three might be quite a nice little thing behind Chadley, Son, and Lamella, perhaps. Gives Eriksen a break, gives Kane a break. Son needs minutes and to gain some form, I think.
But that the league game against Leicester is potentially one... I don't think we could quite go ahead of them, but we could certainly pull within a point or maybe level with them if we win.
They drew as well, didn't they?
Yeah, I think we were four behind them.
I thought we were four behind Arsenal. Well,
we're now six, seven, if
we did win, if we got, say it's a point, we're not, our research is terrible.
Yeah, it is horrendous.
Let's say we go a point behind them. In a bigger picture, our form, we wouldn't have lost in six, since Newcastle, six. And they wouldn't have won in... four, if we beat them. They haven't scored in
downward
three.
Spiral of negativity.
Well, this is what I was going to say. Is it dangerous to think like that? I think we also need to do sort of forget the FA Cup game when we go into the league game. I don't care what happens in the game. I'd like us to just ignore it because that added aspect always changes the feel of a league game. Or you get this quite a lot, I find, in the Premier League. You get... FA Cup games and league games happening side by side and you end up playing a team twice in the space of a few days. We did it against Wimbledon years ago and we played them like six times in a season.
Oh yeah.
Great days.
It was a Klinsmann season, wasn't it?
No, it was when we got to the League Cup final. So Iversen's...
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm remembering it from the advent calendar, but it was
didn't stop playing
in your League Cup piece.
Yeah. So I'd like us to sort of forget whatever happens in the FA Cup game. But if we did beat them in that game, that would already be four on the bounce that they've lost. Or no.
No, hadn't won.
Hadn't won. You know, a chance to make it five. If Vardy's having a break, it can go working one of two ways. He can either be coming back sort of rested, because we believe it's on his hand, because he's had that cast on for ages, hasn't he, Vardy? And I think that the rumours are that the surgery is going to be on his hand.
Okay, I thought I read groin, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, well, let's hope for some complications there.
Yeah.
Well, either way, it could work in our favour or against, couldn't it? It could be sort of you interrupt that form, but Leicester themselves just haven't scored in three, and the last game was against 10-man Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And they had a penalty. You'd hope these little things start
creeping in. Yeah, yeah,
no, bit of doubt.
And the thing about Leicester is that they started this horrible run about 6 or 7 weeks ago now.
Mm.
And everyone was like, right, they're going to fall off a cliff because they've got this horrible run, including City, including Chelsea, including Liverpool, including Everton.
Yeah.
And which just sort of culminated in our game. And the expectation was that by the time we played them, they'd already be out of the top four and on like a horrendous losing streak. And actually they've lost to Liverpool.
Yeah, it's the only game they've lost.
But they took a point at City. They battered Everton at Goodison, which we
drew with United.
They're obviously a team.
Yeah,
And it's going to be a really hard game. We shouldn't go into either of those matches thinking, "Oh, we're at home. It's Leicester City," because we'll lose.
Mm.
But that said, there's no team. I think we can't beat at Hart Lane.
Definitely.
So, I'll be hoping we're in the FA Cup fourth round and we take 3 points and we sort of close the gap on them. That would be my my expectation.
Right.
That we could do that, especially with the games being so close together and, as like I said, about the two squads.
Yeah.
I feel that if Leicester make the changes I expect for the FA Cup game, we should have the edge. But then we thought that last season, and they beat us. Although, God, we probably played Paulinho. I can't remember.
There was some right old Ross playing that game.
Yeah.
You mentioned Mahrez. You expect him to be rested for the cup game, but if he's back for the league game, he kind of tore us to shreds, didn't he? Yeah. Well, certainly second half, he scored the goal within 8 seconds of us scoring ours. But that doesn't seem that long ago. Now.
It seems
like one of those ones that the more I think about it, United drew, Chelsea lost, City drew. I'm looking at that result, and we've said it a few times, but it's not a bad result. And if we beat them at home, getting four points off of a rival isn't a bad result.
Yeah, it was the circumstance of the result.
Of course.
Going ahead in the last 10 and then being pegged back straight away. In hindsight, it was quite fine point.
But Mahrez did rip us to shreds a little bit.
Yeah, he's so good.
What do we do about him? Because Vertonghen was very loose on him for Mahrez for his goal when we played him away. It's unlikely to be anyone else that's going to be up against him. How do you deal with someone like Mahrez? He strikes me as a sort of, like when we used to have Lennon and Bale, a little bit of just kind of sit and hope for the best, but we're better than that, aren't we? So, and we want to win.
I don't
this
know.
Game,
I'm not good on tactics. I'm not too worried. I think having Dyer sitting in there makes a big difference. It was quite telling that Pochettino doesn't do personal praise really, but before the Everton game, he said after the Watford game, he said he thought Dyer was. He'd found Dyer's real position and he was one of the best defensive midfielders in the league. And he also said he thought Toby was the best centre-half in the league.
Yep.
One of the best centre-halves in the league. they've just made... I mean, they're the difference from last season. Otherwise, it's the same. It's Lloris, Walker, Vertonghen and Rose or Davis, which is what it was last season. But we've got these two guys and they've made such a big difference. I didn't particularly fear playing Lukaku. I didn't particularly fear playing Ighalo, even though he did eventually score.
Yeah.
So I think we've got to have the same attitude about facing Mahrez and Vardy, we would play our game and put faith in the guys at the back.
Yeah, that's fair. Alderweireld was incredible against Everton again, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah, he's... I think I've understated it so far, just... Or I've certainly underestimated it in my own mind, just how good he is. Because he has got... And I welcome the pelters for this, because they're likely to come, but the air of king... And I'm not saying he's as good, but the fact is, to have someone in that back line, you take King out of our back line on most days, we looked far worse. And I think the same would be for Alderweireld.
Sorry. Yeah.
You take him out, I reckon you lose more than if you take out any of the other three.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
But to such a degree that you just realise he is a class above kind of anyone that we've had.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
He's not. I'm not putting him on the same pedestal, but he's definitely got that air. We're
at the point where Rose and Davis are almost interchangeable.
Yeah.
I said last week it wouldn't really surprise me if we got to the point where Trippier and Walker were quite close together.
Mm.
And we've all sort of seen good bits from Rimmer.
Yeah, I can't.
So like it might get to the point, you know, next season where Alderweireld's just the glue.
Yeah.
And then we do have this defence that can be more rotated than it has been this season.
Yeah.
But with him as the sort of mainstay linchpin, because he is, he's just so good on the ball as well.
He looks like a Champions League defender, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising me that Atletico Madrid let him go.
Yeah, now. That's weird.
Although they've got I can't remember
who, Godin.
Godin and the other guy. Yeah. His name I can't remember who are among the best in Europe as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good. It's
a reason why Southampton were so annoyed about us pitching.
Yeah.
Or pipping them to him as well. And it's starting to show. But yeah, I think he's great. He's incredible. And he's another one who's a bit of a bastard. Like Dyer.
Yeah.
Should we do some questions? We've got loads of time for these.
Yes. Yeah. Let's do it.
Unless you've got anything else to add on Leicester.
No.
It's hard now, I think. I feel like we analyse Tottenham when we watch them, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like there's an idea of what we're going to do, but it's always fascinating to see how it pans out and how well we're going to implement a plan. That by the time it comes to doing this, I'm always like quite exhausted. I just say, oh God, let's just do some stupid questions. Not saying that questions are stupid. Anyway.
We have got some stupid ones.
Yeah, some pretty good ones actually. We're going to try and steer away from the transfer window questions until either something happens, I think, or the end of the transfer window.
Yeah.
There's bits to talk about, but I can't answer the question of who do you think we should buy as a striker, because I don't know.
Berahino.
Well, I'm sick of his name. We said it so... And that's my fault. I said his name like so many times in the early pods. First question from Ollie Whitefoot, who is at O Whitefoot. What player/fan celebration would you like to have been part of, i.e. The bundle at the Emirates after the 4-4 or the Watford celebrations?
That's a good question.
City, Crouch's goal. Every time I see that on TV, I sort of see a different person being thrown from the back to the front, and everyone who's there said that it was amazing, and in that... You just didn't care if you'd kind of lost a thumb in that, you would have taken it.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to argue with that. The Arsenal 4-4, because my cousin was there and he left.
Whoa.
But he said, in his defence, he reckoned about half the away end had left.
Oh, yeah. You see it on TV, there are big patches.
So he said, about... Did Arsenal scored just before Gina scored?
They were 4-2 up. They were 4-2 up,
and I think a lot of people just filed out at that point. But then Spurs broke and scored the third. So just to have stayed there, in blind faith, or just because you couldn't be bothered to leave, and you just, you know.
Also, you know. I kind of like the emptiness of it.
Yeah, there was something nice.
Seats around you of. There would have been so many strangers that made good friends that night.
That just ran towards
each other.
Exactly,
yeah. I would have picked anyone and just gone absolutely crazy.
Yeah, Villa last season felt like a it felt like quite a significant moment. Yeah, because Kane had been doing it in the Europa League, and then he came on, and he got that goal. And
there's videos of that. There's people in the crowd that filmed, because it's a free kick, they had the opportunity to get their phone out and stuff, and it really does go crazy in that away end.
Yeah.
Because it was just that if this goes in, we know how bad, how ridiculous this celebration's going to be. And it went in, and it was just an explosion of that, wasn't it? Very generous of anyone that was there.
Yeah, I think the City, I'll go with you on the City one. I imagine it'd be hard to beat that in recent memory.
It was so late as well, wasn't it? It was like...
Or have we got... when Woodgate headed that past check...
I think it
depends where you were... Because Wembley's so vast.
Yeah,
if you were in the proper... proper Spurs end.
The bear pit.
Yeah,
it's more difficult there to get the chance to sort of celebrate with everyone.
Yeah,
and there's a lot. It's a lot more difficult. It's a very sterile place when and also I'd have did exactly the same as what I did when I was watching on the sofa at home, and jumped up, celebrated, looked at the clock immediately, and gone, right, we've got 22 minutes left of this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to smoke everything that's in my pocket. I had like 20 different types of cigarettes as well, like roll ups. I had all sorts. It was ridiculous. All legal. I'm going to go City. I'm going to say City for that one. It's a good question, Ollie, actually. I really like that one. Brett Nurse at BR Nurse. If you had to change one thing about Spurs right now, what would it be?
We didn't have to leave White Hart Lane for a year.
I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, it's just
has anything been decided?
There's no idea. I don't think it's... No, nothing's been decided.
It's basically
I think
down
it's going
to
be MK.
No, I do as well.
Isn't
that a Wembley, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard something about... What did I hear? There was a suggestion that it might be MK for the small games and Wembley for like the games against the top six.
But
someone told me that's against Premier League rules.
Yeah,
so
you
have to play every team on the same pitch for the quality's sake, because the pitch is different sizes and
all
different
sorts.
Surfaces, and it's just not fair. So it's either got to be Wembley for the whole season or MK for the whole season. And apparently, even though MK is slightly smaller than White Hart Lane by a couple of thousand, the facilities there, because it's a new stadium in terms of bar and food and... I imagine the club will set up a temporary shop and program it. The club can make a lot of money on match days, a lot more than it makes at White Hart Lane. So I think any money we're giving to MK Dons is going to be offset by increased match day revenue.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be a dream for Levy. He's going to break even and not have to worry. Whereas I imagine Wembley is going to cost an arm and a leg.
Yes. And
the club just
they're talking about Chelsea doing it as well, aren't they?
Yeah, and we might have to bid against Chelsea or
do it. Could we do it at the same time? That's going to be a nightmare.
I don't know how that would work,
it?
Because Wembley's restricted to...
It would be awful.
X number of events per year.
Yeah.
So to have 38 Premier League games, all Spurs home games, all Chelsea.
And fixture list would be all over the place as well, wouldn't it? Because they've got...
Yeah.
Let's face it, we'd probably be in the Europa League. And I'm being realistic here. Like if we go on form of the last few years, they've been in Champions League, we've been in the Europa League.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to take on board with Wembley, I think. Good question as well. Tim Brown at Sock Formation. Would you rather we went down the young English prospect or the proven older international backup for Harry?
I thought we weren't doing transfer window questions.
Well, it's interesting, mate. It's sort of that's a broad question, I think. Would you basically?
But does it have to be one or the other? Why can't it be a young foreign prospect
or an older
English backup?
Okay, you can put in whatever spin you want on it. You're looking at Berahino or I don't know, Lacazette. Lacazette.
Oh, Lacazette.
Or I don't know.
I think it will definitely.
Young guy from Barca.
It's not going to be Ricky Lambert. It'll be.
It doesn't want to be.
Huh?
Doesn't want to be Ricky Lambert.
There's no chance.
Oh God.
Yeah. Didn't Paul Mitchell get rid of him from Saints before he left?
Yeah.
There's no way he's going to sign him now, two years later. Yeah. I think it will be... I don't know who it will be, but it's obviously going to be someone within philosophy.
I reckon it'll be the Barca lad.
Do you think?
Yeah,
Sandro Ramirez.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think if he's got a look, he's got to look at his future as well and think, I don't know, is it 2021? He's got to look at it and think, I've got three of the world's best players in front of me, one of whom is 30, one of whom is 28, and the other's like, how old's Neymar? 23?
Young, yeah.
They're not going to be short for a while.
Mm.
And then, you know, they're so rarely injured as well. I wouldn't see where the opportunities were. Admittedly, you could probably go to somewhere other than Tottenham, but you'd maybe have a look at what's happening right now and make a footballing decision and think, could make something of myself here.
Yeah.
Never know. Go straight back to Barca in 3 years for 30 million.
Yeah, I don't know much about him, but it sounds like he ticks a lot of boxes for Pochettino, so.
Chris Miller, who you all know as at Windy Coys, what was the best thing you ate or drank over the Christmas break? I had a vegan...
Oh, mate, this isn't a good start.
No, it wasn't. I was going to go down the line of making you think that this was good.
Right.
And then you'd go, is it nice? And I'd say, no.
Okay.
But my mum made it, and she made it especially for my fiancé, because she's vegan.
Yeah.
Purely so that she could have something when we have dessert. It was a cheesecake, like a chocolate and orange cheesecake.
That sounds alright.
It was, you know what? It wasn't bad, but it was made with tofu, which if you ever look at it, it's not something you want to eat. It's not even something you want to use on your walls.
Oh.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
So that was the worst thing, but my mum made it with all her heart.
Okay.
So, it's up there.
Right, that wasn't the question.
No, it wasn't.
No, the best thing. What was the best thing you ate?
I don't know. I had four Christmas dinners, though. Not the same day. Over the course of Christmas, I had four good, decent roast dinners.
I had a lot of cheese. I'm a big fan of cheese.
You brought... When we recorded the last pod...
Yeah, I brought some home. I brought home half a Stilton and some camembert.
Did you make your Stilton and broccoli soup?
I did.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was alright.
Did it stink?
I froze most of it. And
in a house show, that's going to be bad. He's got a second part of his question.
Sorry, Wendy, that's not a very good answer. Probably loads of cheese and chocolate.
Yeah. Who was the best Spurs performer over the Christmas period? That's tough.
That's really tough. Alderweireld?
Yeah, it's probably going to be the most consistent. So Kane dropped a little bit. Dembele was obviously injured.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd have got as many points as we did without him.
Mm.
I think we could have struggled against Everton. We certainly could have struggled against Watford.
Would be my answer.
All right, last question. PJ at Bronx Spurs. Please explain the weird feelings I had when Azza scored. Aaron Lennon opened the scoring yesterday for Everton. I hated it for the reason, but why didn't you do it for us? It winds me up. It really winds me up when there's this loads of revisionism about Aaron Lennon from Spurs fans. I really don't like him.
He's so grumpy.
I like what memories he gave us, but I just felt like just annoyed me. He scored like an average of something like...
Scored like two or three goals a season.
Yeah, it wasn't. And he had something the same amount of assists as well, if that. And if you look at Ali, who has contributed scoring or assisting in eight of the last goals, he's basically covered it in our last eight goals. And I know they're different players, but when people pine for people like Lennon to come back, it winds me up, because I just think, well, look at the goal we scored yesterday. He could have neither assisted... Like, he could have neither created nor scored the goal that we scored yesterday. He could score the goal that he scored. It came to him. I think it was a fluke. I think he miss-hit it.
How did I didn't feel much. I didn't feel much. I just felt annoyed that we conceded the goal.
Yeah, it could have been anyone, but it had to be the man.
Yeah, it was kind of, there was a certain inevitability about it kind of made me grin.
Yeah.
Because it was like his third start of the season, or his fourth start of the season, I think. And Deulofeu's been so good. He's got seven assists for Lukaku alone, or seven assists in total, and most of them are from Lukaku. And he's just so much better than that. And like, when he came on, it was like, I was terrified.
Yeah.
So there was a certain horrible inevitability about it. I mean, look, I like Aaron Lennon, but he like you said, I don't disagree with what you said. He feels like a kind of relic of that those young and Redknapp teams who had a lot of talent. But
there's a reason why they stayed.
But there's a reason they never hit the heights, or there's a reason that fourth was our pinnacle, and it was in part down to players like Lennon who had a lot of talent but just didn't use it fully or never quite fulfilled their obvious potential.
Did anything. I don't hate him. I don't hate him.
I like Lennon. He gave us a lot of memories.
Yeah.
He seemed like a bit of a surly git, but it's not like he never struck me as anything other than a really hard working, quite committed Tottenham player. He left everything on the pitch. He gave 110%.
He did. He was so Redknapp, wasn't he? He was someone that if you put your arm round and tell him that he's the best and you've got this fullback on toast, he'd have him for 90 minutes.
He made John Terry look like a mug.
He did, and there are these memories, but I can't ignore the times when he was marked out of a game by Paul McShane at left back and Paul Konchesky, for God's sake.
When he mugged off Paul Konchesky in the last minute against Liverpool.
Yeah, he did love playing against Liverpool. Actually, he reserved his best for the bigger games, which is fine, and some players get away with that. But when we really needed to just do something different than run at the white line.
Put it this way: you're completely right. When you look at what Lamella's numbers this season.
Yeah.
You look at Ali's numbers this season. Look at the amount of goals Chadley scored last year. No one should be missing Lennon at all.
No.
I mean, I had weird sort of weird feelings last year when he wasn't in the team, but with hindsight, it's just another very logical, clear-headed, correct decision for Pochettino to get rid of him.
His main asset was pace, and he's 30.
Mm.
Like, when I say main asset, arguably now one of his only assets to what would be a top six team.
Yeah.
If you're in the top six, you've got to be scoring goals and you've got to be assisting, which is what our players are doing. He didn't do that for quite consistently over a few years. He assisted for the Crouch goal in Milan, but that was like one assist out of, I don't know, 25 games.
I agree.
His main asset was only going to get kind of diminished as time went on. We cashed in on him. We got, what, 5 mil? 4 mil?
And he's...
Hell of business. Still made $4 million profit on him.
Yeah, he's the sort of last type of player that Pochettino would want as well.
Mm.
He can't sort of cut inside or score or he plays on the right wing and runs down the right.
He's right footed on the right wing.
No hard feelings as it, but
in a perverse way, it was actually, although he scored, it could have been much worse if Deulofeu was playing from the start.
It might have been, because he very nearly put it on a plate for Lukaku two or three times.
Okay, that's it. We will be back next Monday. We'll do obviously a Leicester FA Cup review. We'll talk a little bit about the league game coming up, because it might change things. It'll be interesting to see what team we play, etc. And who's after Leicester in the league? Someone said it's Sunderland.
I think it's Sunderland or Palace. Yeah, Sunderland at home. Sunderland. We've got three home games in a row, which could do a bit of damage in.
Is one of them the cup game, though?
Yeah.
Oh, still.
The chance to build up a bit of steam. And...
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us this week, guys. We'll see you next Monday. Dan, take care, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.